Hey everyone, welcome back. We're going deep today, okay? Really deep.
Deep dive.
That's right, a deep dive into what is a question, really? What does it mean to live a life worthy of the gospel? And I think that's something that all of us who are trying to follow Jesus kind of wrestle with, like, what does that actually look like day to day? And to help us unpack this, we are turning to one of the earliest voices in Christianity.
The OG.
That's right, the Apostle Paul. And we're looking specifically at a lecture series on his letter to the Philippians, chapters 1 and 2, where these ideas of unity and humility are like front and center. And I have to say, I was so impressed with the way Dr. Darko just brought these words to life and made them feel so relevant to our lives today.
I think one of the things that really stood out to me was this concept of Christians being citizens of heaven
Oh, yeah.
and how that citizenship actually impacts how we behave here on earth.
I was totally struck by that too. It's like, it's not just this ethereal, spiritual thing. It's like, no, it has real world implications.
It's about action.
Right. And Dr. Darko pointed out that Paul uses this Greek word for conduct, which has this really strong connotation of civic duty, like the responsibility we have as citizens of a nation.
It makes you think, right? Like, if we really see ourselves as citizens of heaven, how should that shape our everyday choices? Like, what do? How do we act?
Like it's asking us, like, who are we ultimately loyal to? And I love the way Dr. Darko used this analogy of Americans living abroad.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one.
To illustrate this point, it's like no matter where they are, they still have that American identity. And
The light
often,
shines through.
they act in ways that reflect it.
Yeah, and it reminds us that, like, our primary allegiance is to Christ and his kingdom.
Yes.
And that should be evident in how we live.
Okay, but here's where it gets really interesting, right? Paul is writing this letter from a Roman prison. So he's in the midst of his own struggles, and yet he's so deeply concerned with the unity of the Philippian church.
It makes you realize that unity wasn't just some like abstract ideal for Paul. It was like essential, especially when you consider the pressure the Philippian church was facing from the dominant Roman culture, like all around them.
The Curios conflict really highlights that, doesn't it? You know, they're living in this time where declaring Jesus as Lord was like a direct challenge to the Roman emperor, who was also considered Curios or Lord.
Whoa, talk about a clash of loyalties.
Huge, huge conflict.
Yeah, and that kind of conflict isn't confined to ancient history, right? I mean, we face modern day curios conflicts all the time.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, just think about the pressure to conform to certain ideologies or beliefs that directly challenge our faith today.
Absolutely. So it kind of makes you wonder, like, how do we navigate these tensions? How do we stand firm in our beliefs while still engaging with the world around us?
Yeah, that's a big question.
It is a big question.
And I think that's where Paul's emphasis on unity becomes so crucial, right? He uses these phrases like one spirit, one mind, striving side by side to describe this kind of unity he longed for in the Philippian church.
So good. And you know, even though Dr. Darko specifically said no to the Honda Accord joke, I still love this idea of being in one accord. It just speaks to this need for a shared purpose, you know?
Yeah, like a shared direction.
Even in the midst of all of our diversity.
And Dr. Darko pointed out that one spirit can actually be interpreted in two ways. On the one hand, it could refer to the Holy Spirit, right? The unifying force that connects all believers. But it can also represent a shared human purpose, like a collective desire to work towards a common goal.
That's what I was thinking too. It's like we're recognizing that we're all part of something so much bigger than just ourselves, regardless of our differences, right? And that shared purpose can actually give us the strength to stand firm in our faith, even when things get really tough.
And then when you get to the beginning of Philippians chapter 2, Paul's plea for unity, it becomes even more powerful. Dr. Darko highlighted that it's actually one really long continuous sentence in the original Greek, which emphasizes the urgency and the passion behind Paul's words.
He can't even contain it.
Yeah, it's all just pouring out.
He's pouring his heart out to the Philippians and urging them to be unified and to live in a way that reflected the gospel. And it's right in the middle of this plea that he shares what brings him joy, even while he's in prison. And I loved how Dr. Darko used this image of a joy basket being filled.
Oh, that's a good one.
It just helps to make it so much more tangible.
It gives you something to hold on to.
So, okay, let's talk about what's filling Paul's joy basket. What are those elements?
Okay, so he starts with encouragement in Christ,
right?
Which I think speaks to the strength and hope that we find in our relationship with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's consolation in love.
Yeah.
That kind of deep sacrificial love that binds believers together.
Beautiful.
We can't forget the fellowship of the Spirit, that shared connection and purpose that comes from being united in Christ.
Yes.
It's powerful stuff.
So powerful.
And then he talks about tender hearts and sympathy. Like, wow, that one really got to me.
It's so easy to get caught up in, you know, theological debates and all that and forget that true Christian unity actually requires compassion and empathy.
It's about connecting with each other on a human level, right?
Totally.
Recognizing that we all share the same joys and sorrows and hopes and fears, you know, the whole human experience.
I loved how Dr. Darko shared that story about learning to weep.
Oh, yeah.
It was so powerful and moving.
Yeah. It really drove home the point that true vulnerability and emotional connection are essential for building real unity.
Right. Like, you can't have one without the other.
Yeah. Exactly. And that leads us to another crucial part of Paul's message, humility.
Humility. Okay, that's a tough one.
It is, isn't it? It almost feels kind of countercultural to even talk about it, you know?
In a world that's all about, like, look at me and me first.
Yeah, self-promotion, striving for success, all that.
Right. Humility can seem like weakness.
Right.
But Paul turns that whole idea upside down.
He flips the script.
Yeah, he does. In Philippians 2:3-4, he's directly challenging the Philippians to put aside selfish ambition and conceit and instead focus on the needs of others.
He's saying that true strength is found in lifting each other up,
not
in tearing each other down.
And it's amazing how this whole idea of humility isn't just a Christian thing, you know?
No, it's not. It shows up in lots of philosophical and spiritual traditions throughout history.
It really does.
It speaks to something universal. I think a basic human need for connection and recognizing that we're all interconnected. And what I appreciate is that Paul isn't saying neglect your own needs or forget about your goals.
Right.
He's urging us to expand our circle of concern.
Yeah.
To include the well-being of those around us.
It's like shifting from me to we.
Exactly.
Which can be a really hard shift to make.
Yeah, especially in our individualistic culture.
For sure. And I think that's where the example of Jesus becomes so important.
Absolutely. Philippians 2:5 is like this pivotal point, you know.
Okay.
Because it connects this call for unity and humility directly to the model of Jesus himself.
It all comes back to Jesus.
Always.
Right.
He's the ultimate example of putting others first.
Yeah.
Even to the point of sacrificing himself on the cross.
Oh, man. When Dr. Darko showed that visual representation of the Christ hymn that comes next,
wow.
I was like blown away. He drew this diagram of the hymn's structure, like Christ pre-existent, then incarnate, then exalted.
Right.
And it literally looked like Christ on the cross.
Whoa, that's powerful.
It was so powerful.
Yeah. What I found so profound about that visual is that it captures the whole arc of Jesus's journey. You know, it's a reminder that even though he was in divine form, he chose to humble himself.
Wow.
To become human, to experience suffering and death, all for us.
It really challenges us, doesn't it?
It does.
Like, if the Son of God was willing to humble himself to that extent, what does that mean for how we treat each other?
Right. It's a radical example of selflessness and servanthood.
For sure. And I think that's what Paul's getting at when he urges the Philippians to have the same mind as Christ.
Yeah.
It's not about just blindly conforming, right?
No, it's about embracing that same spirit of humility, putting the needs of others before our own.
It's about asking, how can I serve instead of what's in it for me?
It's a different way of thinking.
It is. And it's hard, especially when we're constantly told to prioritize our own happiness and success.
It goes against the grain, doesn't it?
It really does.
But I think that's where true joy comes from.
Yeah.
Finding fulfillment and contributing to something bigger than ourselves.
And that brings us back to Paul's joy basket.
Full circle.
It is. It's not filled with stuff or achievements.
Right.
It's filled with that deep satisfaction that comes from living in unity and serving others with humility, just like Jesus did.
You know, I think it's good to just pause here for a second and reflect on what we've uncovered so far.
Okay.
We've talked about heavenly citizenship, unity amidst opposition, and this radical call to humility, all rooted in the example of Christ.
It's a lot to take in.
It is. So what's resonating with you the most?
Yeah, what's standing out?
What questions are coming up for you? as we think about how to apply these principles to our lives today?
I think for me, what's really sticking out is the contrast between the values of the Roman Empire.
Oh, yeah.
And the values of the kingdom of God that Paul was talking about.
Right. It's like two completely different worldviews.
The Roman Empire was built on power, you know, dominance, self-interest.
Yeah, it was all about me.
But Paul's vision for the Philippian church was totally different.
It was radical.
It was. It was a community defined by unity and humility and sacrificial love.
That tension is still so relevant today, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we're still grappling with those same competing values.
Yeah.
Like, on the one hand, we're told to strive for individual success.
Right. Look out for number one.
Exactly. But on the other hand, we all crave connection and meaning and belonging.
Yeah, we want to be part of something bigger.
We do. And it's like this constant pull in opposite directions.
It is. And that's why I think Paul's message is so timely.
Yeah.
He's not giving us a bunch of rules to follow. He's giving us a vision.
Right.
For a different way of being in the world.
A better way.
A better way. One that prioritizes love and unity and humility above everything else.
And the best part is he doesn't just like throw this vision out there. He actually shows us how to live it out.
Exactly.
Think about those elements of his joy basket.
Yeah.
Encouragement, consolation, fellowship, tender hearts, sympathy.
Right. Those are all things we can actually do.
They're actions.
Right. Actionable ways to foster unity and express humility in our everyday lives.
It makes you wonder what our communities would look like if we really lived this out.
What if we put unity before division? Humility before pride? Love before self-interest?
That's a powerful question.
It is. And it starts with each of us.
Right.
Taking responsibility for how we show up in our communities.
Yeah. Are we building people up or tearing them down?
Are we serving or are we taking?
Are we walking in humility or clinging to pride?
Those are tough questions.
They are, but they're the questions we need to be asking ourselves.
If we really want to live a life worthy of the gospel.
It's not about being perfect.
No.
It's about aligning our hearts and actions with the example of Jesus.
And that's a journey, right?
It is, a process of learning and growth.
But as we go deeper into Paul's letter, I really believe we can gain wisdom and insights to guide us on that path.
Absolutely. So let's keep exploring Philippians.
And see what other gems we can uncover as we try to understand what it truly means to live a life that reflects the love and grace of Christ.
It's kind of radical when you think about it, what Paul's saying.
It is like a complete transformation.
Yeah, like turning our whole way of thinking upside down.
Moving away from all that self-centeredness.
You know? Me first mentality.
Exactly. Which is everywhere these days.
Everywhere. So it makes you wonder, what would Paul say to us today?
Oh, good question.
Like if he were writing a letter to our communities, what would he be concerned about?
I think he'd be really troubled by all the division, you know?
The polarization.
Yeah, not just out there in the world, but
even in the church.
Yeah, even within the church.
It's like we've forgotten we're all on the same team.
Right. Part of the same body.
Each with our own important role to play.
Even if we don't see eye to eye on everything.
Exactly. And I bet Paul would challenge us to look at what we're putting first in our lives.
The idols of our hearts.
Yeah. Yeah. Are we more worried about our own comfort and security?
Our reputation.
Than we are about loving and serving others.
It's so easy to get caught up in that stuff.
It really is. But Paul reminds us that real fulfillment doesn't come from what we have.
Mm-hmm.
It comes from how we live.
How we love.
How we contribute to something bigger than ourselves.
And it all circles back to that powerful idea. Tender hearts and sympathy.
I love that phrase.
It's not just about feeling sorry for someone, you know?
No, it's deeper than that.
It's about really entering into their pain, their struggles, their joys.
It's about walking a mile in their shoes.
Trying to see the world through their eyes.
And responding with compassion and understanding.
And that requires vulnerability, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, big time.
It means opening ourselves up to the possibility of getting hurt or misunderstood.
Maybe even rejected.
But it's in that space of vulnerability that real connection happens.
That's where unity is born.
That's where unity is born, yeah.
You know, I keep thinking back to Dr. Darko's story about learning to weep.
Such a powerful story.
It's about letting ourselves be moved by other people's experiences.
Sharing their joys and their sorrows.
Offering comfort and support, like really being there for each other.
And realizing that we all have something to offer, even with all our flaws and imperfections.
When we embrace humility, it gives other people the space to shine.
to share their gifts, to contribute.
That shifts the focus from me to we.
From individual success to collective flourishing.
I think that's what it really means to live a life worthy of the gospel.
Reflecting the character of Christ.
Embracing unity in the midst of all our differences.
Choosing humility over pride.
Building bridges instead of walls.
Offering grace instead of judgment.
Extending love, even when it's hard.
Even when it's hard, especially when it's hard.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into Philippians, we want to leave you with this question. How can you embody tender hearts and sympathy in your everyday life?
What are some small steps you can take to build unity in your community?
To embrace humility in your relationships.
To show the love of Christ in how you treat others.
It doesn't have to be anything huge. Just start small.
One act of kindness. One moment of connection.
And as you do that, you'll discover the joy and fulfillment that come from living a life that truly honors the gospel.
Thanks for joining us on this journey.
We hope it's given you some new insights.
And inspired you to live a life transformed by Christ's love.
We'll be back next week with another deep dive.
Until then, may you be filled with peace, grace, and an abundance of love.
See you next time.